All right, friends, I will invite you back. Come on, back to your seats. Yay! I love that I get to do that again. All right, people, come and get settled. I want to say to the, I've been asked to say to our online friends today, this is a learning curve for us. I've often said to people over the years that running a Sunday service is the easiest thing in the world. Being a church is the challenge, right? But on a day like today, running a service is really challenging. I'm sure during even just Curtis's prayer, our anxiety levels just went up and down every time we heard the static, right? This fear of we're all about to be electrocuted. And I'm sure online there is some challenges with the music feed and things like that, and we are sorry, and our team are working so hard, and I appreciate them. I believe if you are online, there is a chat, and you can give, construct helpful comments. Not criticism, but am I saying this right, Mark? Yeah, there's requests from the tech team asking, are you hearing this or whatever, and they're doing their best. We're having some real challenges, so. But thank you to everybody. And I want to give a huge shout out to Simon Pretty. Is he in the room? Simon. Simon was here. Simon has been here for the last 6 months trying to figure this out for us. He's been here at 6 a.m. some days this week. He's been here at 11:45 some nights this week. He's trying to help get us here. So honestly, thank you, Simon. Oh, there's so much I want to say, but I will just dive into what I have. I want to begin with a prayer, something of a liturgy of regathering today that I hunted down this week. And I'll say right at the start, I am not going to preach a typical sermon today, partly because we got some of the Kyle kids in the room and some other kids in the room, and I don't want to shoot kill any parents today and or children. And so next week I'll be starting into a series that'll take us through into this fall and year. But today I want to really just share a liturgy of one verse of scripture that has captured my heart and one big idea, all as a lead up towards us sharing in the most antiseptic experience of communion you'll ever have. I don't know if that's the right word, but it is what it is. So let me start with sharing a liturgy. This comes from a wonderful book called Every Moment Holy, a collection of liturgies by Douglas McKelvey, Volume 1. Let me just read it for us. It's going to be on the screen as we go, but I want to invite you just to let this gather us. If quietly under your breath you want to say some of it with me, go ahead and do it, but just listen to these words. And so we are gathered here. Uniquely in all of history, we particular people in this singular time and place. Accomplish your purposes among us, O God. Tune our hearts to the voice of your Spirit. Wake us to be present to you and to one another in these shared hours that we are given. For it is you, O Lord, who have so gathered us from our various places, and you alone who know our hearts and our needs. Among us are some who arrive anxious, some who are lonely, some who suffer pain and sorrow. May we in our joys find grace to enter the sorrows of one another. Among us are some who arrive rejoicing, hearts made light by good news, good health, good anticipation. May we in our sorrows find grace to embrace the joys of one another. Let us prize these moments and care for one another deeply, for each of us and our relationships to one another are precious and fleeting. Amen. Let us prize these moments and care for one another deeply, for each of us and our relationships to one another are precious and eternal. Amen. Breathe upon our gathering, O Spirit of God. Grant each of us a place to humbly receive and to faithfully serve, that we might know in our fellowship a foretaste of that greater communion yet to come. O Father, enlarge our hearts. O Spirit, expand our vision. O Christ, establish your kingdom among us. Be at work even now, O Lord. May your will in us in these hours be accomplished. Amen. I did pay for permission to use that and willing to share a PDF with those who would want to request a copy. What a beautiful fit and fitting liturgy for us today, isn't it? I'm particularly drawn to it because of how it acknowledges something of the complexity that we all feel as we step into this room today, or what keeps us from being able to step into this room today. So much has gone on, is going on. The joys and sorrows that we have experienced since last we gathered like this are incalculable. Some joys and sorrows so bold, so undeniable, and others largely unseen, hard for us even to put a finger on. In truth, it's impossible for me to list or even know all that's gone on since last we convened in this space and time together, in our world, in our country, in our health region, in our church life, and in just our individual lives. But I want to name a few. Obviously, first and foremost, we're wearing masks. There's a global pandemic that has shaken our world, all the stress, inequities, and complexities of it, and we're still living in it. This has been a year and more that we will never forget. I know there's whole years of my life I have completely forgotten. But this is not one of those times, right? In the midst of it, we've experienced multiple racial injustice awakenings, which we are very much still just beginning to comprehend and take to heart and let reshape us. Those are just two of heaps of realities that have shaken our world and our own lives. And then there are some major events in the life of our church, of our congregational life that have gone on. First in my mind being that this past December, Glenn Kyle, after 8 years as our youth pastor, announced his decision to make a change in his work life and his family's direction. And that's a big deal. That sparked a huge change for Glenn and Deanna and their kids. And I'm sure they've been spreading that news, and I won't explain that. I'll let you guys share your beautiful news of where they're heading off to. But it's also impacted us and catalyzed us into a season of big, unexpected transition with our youth ministry. And so thankful for all these people that stepped up and contributed. And then looking into a new chapter, and out of that, Aaron Broxma has come. Where are you, Aaron? Aaron and Chelsea, can you stand for a second? This is Aaron and Chelsea. Aaron, I wasn't telling you to sit, actually, but that's okay. No, you totally can. I was just going to say, if you missed it, Aaron spoke last week, and it was a wonderful gift, and I trust for many of you an opportunity to get to know some of Aaron's heart, and just excited for you guys to become a part of our community. Next Sunday, Glenn's going to be up here, and his last Sunday with have a chance to be with us in a beautiful way, so looking forward to that. And then in the midst of all that, this past spring, after much discussion and wrestling and prayer and anxious conversation and waiting, our membership voted to approve the proposal from our board of elders to remove the barrier and open the door for women to serve and lead on the board of elders. And with that, to grow into a deep, blessed alliance, one theologian calls it, of partnership of men and women serving and leading together in the whole life of our church. And then third, maybe at the most personal level, over the last year and a half, a number of our own have passed away from within our own church life. Friends that sat with us 18 months ago that are no longer here, but are missed deeply. And grief has had to be experienced largely in isolation. And I know a number of small memorials have taken place, little gatherings of family, and some of it, sadly, horrifically, beautifully, cast across the country for others that couldn't fly in. But I do hope, I look forward to us creating a space this fall for us to come together and name and honor the lives of those that we've lost together in the life of our church, women and men who've been the hands and feet of Jesus to us right here. And I recognize too that beyond our church fellowship, many of you have lost loved ones, brothers, sisters, parents, pregnancies in the midst of this season to COVID and other health complications, and you've had to walk in that largely alone. And yet also I hope and pray that you have known something of the fellowship of God's people in the dark night of your grief. Because I know we have prayed, many have, and grieved at a distance and wanted to be there. Again, as the liturgy invites us to pray, among us are some who arrive anxious, some who are lonely, some who suffer pain and sorrow. May we in our joys find grace to enter the sorrows of one another. In the midst of all that, this last season of COVID has brought expected and unexpected beauty and grace for some of you. New life, new faith, new relationships, new hope, new family. For others, not newness, but just the simple gift of sustaining grace. The simple gift of ordinary goodness. And maybe a chance to have a cappuccino and soak it in. The stories of which I hope will be told. Though there is much grief in this season, we need to tell and hear the stories of where God has burst through the grief, where God has erupted in the struggle and met us and breathed life into us. We all need to hear it, all of us, and let it wash over us and lift us up. Again, as the liturgy invites us to pray, among us are some who are rejoicing, hearts made light by good news, good health, good anticipation. May we in our sorrows find grace to embrace the joys of one another. I need that. Oh, there's so many stories I could tell right now, but we have all got them. I think this is something vital for us to do in the days ahead, to share together in the joys and the sorrows, allowing God to meet us through the sharing of our sufferings and joy. All right, that's the liturgy. That's the longest part. The last two come together and they're short. A verse, Colossians 3:16. It's one of the great 3:16s of the Bible. If you have a Bible with you or an app, click it, take a screenshot, Colossians 3:16. It's a winner. It will be on the screen, but I always think, man, it's so hard to find it if you never opened it. So another time. Colossians 3:16. It's a verse I've come back to so many times, and I've been praying towards today, I have been kind of freaked out with this self-imposed expectation that I have to make sense of everything that's gone on for every one of us globally and personally in 12 minutes. And I can't even make sense of my own lived reality right now, right? And so God's had to redirect me. And this verse has really grabbed me again. It's caught me so many times over the years. Not as a response to all that we've gone through or are walking through, but as an invitation as we step into coming days and season and years together. In truth, it's something of a vision of what God wants for us, which links to the big idea that I want to share today. So first hear the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae and with them to us. Paul says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." Not the news cycle. Not just the weather. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." As I've said so many times before about so many other passages of Scripture, there is so much in this one verse. So much we need to hear. And obviously, Paul's just core invitation, exhortation, encouragement to us to let the message of Christ dwell among us richly, to choose to allow the gospel, the message of Christ, the grace of Christ that we all need to hear day after day, the peace of Christ, the hope of Jesus, the wisdom of holiness, the forgiveness of sin, the gift of reconciliation, death to sin, life in Christ, to choose to let this be at the heart of our shared life. We need this. We need this. I need this. I am so tired of hearing my own voice. I long to hear God's voice in and with others again. It makes me so hungry to be right here and in smaller gatherings, probably with masks on in other places. But with this simple, obvious exhortation, this morning I want us to grasp the one thing underneath it all, the deeper grace that we need to hear and acknowledge and believe and celebrate and declare over one another today and every day. And it's simply this, wonderfully this. Jesus is here. Jesus, who is Lord, is here with us by the Spirit right now and in every moment. This is the reality behind everything Paul says in this verse and everything Paul ever wrote, for that matter. Jesus is here. We're not just called to choose to put at the center of our life a message about someone who once was. But because Jesus is here, our words of blessing to one another, our seeking to speak to one another the message of Christ, the grace of Christ, the peace of Christ, the blessing of Christ, the forgiveness of the gospel, becomes the means of Jesus' living ministry to us, to you, and to me. Because Jesus is here. This is something God has just spoken over me again and again this past season, as I have felt so weary with the responsibility of being a Christian, but being a pastor, being a shepherd at a distance, all the more so. And Jesus again and again has had to say to me, Scott, what matters above all, what makes anything, even a podcast, an online message, when you're not in the flesh and you can't touch their shoulder, what matters and makes this ministry is the presence of Jesus. And that is the ground of the gospel. It makes the gospel life for us today, good news for us today, that Jesus is here by the Spirit for the glory of God the Father. We hear it in this verse. The whole of the Godhead is named in this verse. Jesus, by the Spirit, singing to God with glory, with gratitude in our hearts. But it's not just this beautiful theological side note. It is the reality that makes all the rest matter. It's the reality that makes everything we're doing here today matter. Jesus is here by the Spirit for the glory of God the Father, which means your sin can be forgiven. Truly taken to the grave with Jesus. Which means lost people can be found. The hopeless, some of you feel, have felt, do feel deeply hopeless. Hope can be reborn in your soul. Captives can be set free. Grace can be experienced. New life can come to those that right now feel like dry bones. And I come back to that prophetic passage in Ezekiel again and again. Dry bones. Can these dry bones live? And the answer is yes. Because Jesus, the one who is alive, is here. Jesus is here. And so new life can come to you and to me and through us, to one another and to others. And so we can pray with hope today, the words at the close of this liturgy, breathe upon our gathering, O Spirit of God. Grant each of us a place to humbly receive and to faithfully serve, that we might know in our fellowship a foretaste of that greater communion yet to come. Oh, Father, enlarge our hearts. Oh, Spirit, expand our vision. Oh, Christ, establish your kingdom among us. Be at work even now, Lord. May your will in us, in these hours, be accomplished. Friends, this is like the most simple message I've ever given. But it is what makes everything else matter. It means that our songs are not just songs. They are our voices lifted up to a living God who hears us and is engaged with us. It makes our proclamation matter because we're being invited into a reality with a real living God who is present to us. I have good news for you. Oh man, I just want to name all your names. But I have good news for you. Right now, right here, in the midst of all that you are facing, Jesus is here. Jesus, the living God who came in flesh to reveal the Father and to rescue, restore, and reconcile us to the Father and life in the Father, to the death and resurrection of Jesus. This Jesus is here by the Spirit for the glory of the Father and for your joy in him and the good of the world. Yes? And so he invites us, you and me, to come in faith right here today and again tomorrow or tonight and then tomorrow and then Tuesday when school starts and then Wednesday when you go back. To come to Jesus in faith today, to turn to him with all that is within us, to come today and take the bread and the cup in faith today that Jesus' death means that our sin has been forgiven and taken to the grave. And Jesus' resurrection means life for us, new life in Jesus.